This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly tracks, perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a gunner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A gunner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
A good Monday evening to you. Here we go. We've got a little bit of a shorter edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line tonight. We're going to be done in less than an hour as we will make way for the St. Louis University Basketball Coaches Show. That'll be coming your way from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. But here in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to do nothing but talk Cardinals baseball, as indeed we do come your way from Jupiter, Florida. Here's what's coming up. In our next segment, we'll go through everything that Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today. And then later on in the hour, we're going to go through what Nolan Arenado had to say yesterday as he reported to camp. And as we get things going, want to start with that. It's been a busy few. This is one of these days where if we had a full 2 hours, that might not be enough to talk through everything that has been said here over the last few days. But certainly want to go with the big stories. And the biggest story is the fact that Nolan Arenado remains a Cardinal, and it would appear that he is going to be a Cardinal for the foreseeable future as a deal does not get done. Now, I was of the belief that he was going to get traded. I thought he was going to get traded before New Year's Day, and I got that one wrong. The only caveat I'll throw on there is that he was essentially traded to Houston, and he rejected that trade, and then all of a sudden they had to go somewhere else. But and also, if Alex Bregman doesn't sign with the Red Sox, he goes to Boston in all likelihood. But bottom line is, he wasn't traded. He's here. Now, when we thought he was going to be traded, all the reasons to trade him made all the sense in the world to me. An opportunity to get young players more of an opportunity to find out what you have in a reset season. Well, don't call it a reset. Call it a transition season now. That was pretty much the indication that we had been given earlier this week, because really much this team is very similar to the team from last year. Many of the pieces are back. Some of them are in different places. Some of them have different roles, but many of those pieces are back. And now the Cardinals are referring to this as more of a transition. The transition being that this is a kind of a hybrid year where John Mozeliak is still the president of baseball operations, but much of Heim Bloom's infrastructure has already been put in, and then Chaim Bloom's going to take over next year. So they go with transition now. What does Nolan Arenado being on the Cardinals mean for this club? I think it means they're going to be a better team. I never said, even though I was in favor of him being traded because I saw the value in getting younger players more playing time to find out just what you have, I never said that was going to make the team better. I just thought it was going to benefit the team in the long run. And I still think that, but now that it is essentially off the table, you move forward with what you have. And what you have is an opportunity to be a better baseball team with a very, very motivated Nolan Arenado. And you don't have to squint that hard to see a pretty good offensive club if Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker take steps forward this year. Even with those guys towards the bottom of the order, which you would think they would be at least to start the season, there is an opportunity for this team to score a lot more runs than they scored last year, which is what it's going to take for this team to be good. So I'm still kind of mentally filing away what I think this team is going to be this year because I'm not totally sure. It's really hard to assess anything because if Nolan Arenado doesn't have a bounce back season, if Nolan Gorman continues to hit below 200 and strike out, you know, 2.5 times per game like he did in his final month last season, if Jordan Walker continues to pound it on the ground and swing away at stuff low and away that he can't touch, it could be a tough season. It could be a very tough season. But if those guys do the opposite of that, they could turn into a very, very competitive club. There was no awkwardness with Arenado returning. Everybody was happy to see him. Everybody was happy to see him. His teammates, his manager, his coaches, his president of baseball operations, even when it was John Mozeliak who was trying to trade him. You know, Mo kept talking about that kind of that small voice that he was hearing in his head when he would have trade negotiations about how he was worried about the fact that he was going to be trading away a guy who is likely going to have a pretty significant bounce back this upcoming season. So glad to see Nolan Arenado. You add a Hall of Fame player back into the group, a guy who is very, very motivated to have a good season. He looks great. He trimmed down. He spent a ton of time in the weight room and doing other things. He tried to do some things to improve his bat speed, which is probably the number one key for this year. So I think so far, and we're still like a week, you know, 5 days away from Grapefruit League play, so far the Arenado thing seems to be a positive. We'll see what he looks like once he starts taking some competitive at-bats. He says he wants to play in a lot of spring training games, so we'll see how that plays out. We'll hear some things from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. That's next here on KMOX.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back in. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 7 o'clock. That's when we will hand things off to the St. Louis University Basketball Coaches Show, and that's going to be from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock this evening, so make sure to stay tuned for that. With the short show, we're doing a lot of audio, so in our next segment, I kind of wanted to put a bow on the Arenado thing, right? So we have spent just an incredible amount of time over the last few months talking about a potential Arenado trade, and then it ends up not happening. I know you've probably heard some of the audio of what he said to the media yesterday, but I wanted to go through all of it so you kind of get a full understanding of where he's coming from, and then hopefully that's going to be it, that we can move on to other narratives regarding the Cardinals moving forward. But that's what we're going to do in our next segment right now. Want to listen in to Oliver Marmol. He meets with the media on an everyday basis here in Jupiter and goes through just a bunch of things based off the questions that we happen to ask him. And now today, as I mentioned, mile marker spot, first full squad workout today. The Cardinals have a really cool tradition where on the day of the first full squad workout, Bill DeWitt Jr., the club's chairman, owner, he meets with the club, addresses them. John Mozeliak will speak with the club, and Oliver Marmol will speak with the club. We never really get details on the specifics of what is said. It's always that message is a message meant for the people inside the clubhouse. The Post-Dispatch always gets to put a photographer in there just before it gets going, so the shots can be taken, and then the photographer will leave, and that's when the actual meeting and the address begins. I can tell you, it was fairly short today. If it began when they said it was going to begin, it maybe only lasted 10 or 15 minutes, but all three of the individuals did talk. Afterwards, Marmol spoke with us, and while he did not give any of those specifics, he did say that it was a positive message to the team.
Good message. It was for that clubhouse. It was intentional with where we're at as a club and how we're going to move forward. And there's a lot of excitement around that, but the message was for that clubhouse.
You know, every day when we talk to him, I kind of gravitate towards one or two things that he says that I think is really important. In this line of questioning and answers that I'm about to play for you, I think is the key from today. he talked about the excitement level for this season. And I think this is notable because, and look, some of this might just be like the classic coach speak at the beginning of a season, hope springs eternal, yada, yada, yada. But I don't think it's, I think this is a legitimate feeling from Marmol. I don't think this is just lip service. I could be wrong, but I get the sense that he's being genuine in what you're about to hear him say. So you would think that in a year where the external expectations are kind of low, that this would not be a group that is as excited as any group that he's been associated with, but that's actually not the case.
There's more excitement about what we're about to embark in than any year I've been here. The guys are pumped about just the perception of who we are as a club. It's going to be a lot of fun to go on this ride with them.
So after Marmol said that, I asked him, in a year with those low external expectations, not that they are basing themselves on external expectations, it's about what they think of themselves, but still, the expectations are what they are from outside of that clubhouse. What has led to the excitement level being so high?
A lot of individual conversations, a lot of, to Derek's word earlier, ownership over what this looks like moving forward. Expectations from the outside don't impact our, how we think through this one way or another. It really, the expectations in that room are always extremely high. So in being able to talk to the guys and kind of letting them talk and listening to what they're saying, I'm pretty excited about it.
I also thought this was interesting, continuing on with kind of that line of thought. He said that this group of players, and you think about the legacy of the Cardinals and the run that this team has been on really during the DeWitt era, and what they're going through right now is something that they haven't gone through before. And when you're going to think back on this period, you're going to think on some of these players. You're going to think largely on Goldschmidt and Arenado, even though Goldschmidt's not around anymore, and the lack of legitimate playoff success with those players on the roster. Marmol said that this group really wants to be able to have a positive impact on the legacy of the club.
They're anxious to leave their mark on this franchise, and I mean it. They're hungry for that. That's why when you talk about playing fast and there being excitement and just being aggressive, like, these guys are hungry for that opportunity to be able to leave their mark. So yeah, there's excitement, especially like as a manager, as a staff, like, you want to see that. You want, like, in hearing them talk about it, you want these games to start and you want to see it. So that's what I think will be exciting for fans to watch. Yeah. As well.
And part of the group that's back is Arenado, Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras. Three players that when the Cardinals had their end-of-season news conference talking about the reset that they were going through and announcing Heim Bloom, we didn't know if any of those players were going to be back with the team. And Marmol, you know, speaking about those players and veteran players in general, said this club needs the veteran players to be able to lead in their own way.
They're all doing a really nice job, even this offseason, and then as we've seen each other face-to-face here, of understanding what they bring to the table. And each one of them, they're different in what they bring to the table. Some guys lead by strictly by example, just watch how I go about my business, and this is why I'm great. Other guys are a little bit more vocal. Other guys are good at accountability. Other guys are good at encouraging. But when you bring it all to the table at the same time, then you have a solid combination. But each guy understanding who they are and what they bring is important. And the staff's job is to bring that out of them, cultivate an environment that allows them to be themselves and also reach certain areas that they didn't think were possible.
Some of the other things that Marmol had to say, we continue to ask questions about the kind of the alignment and doing the whole offense versus defense that's very much connected to center field. If Arenado is going to be at third and Gorman is going to be at second and Donovan is at left and you keep Burleson as the DH, don't you have to have Newt Barr in center field even if defense comes back? That question is going to present itself behind the plate as well with Páez versus Herrera. And Marmol has talked about it a little bit, but today his point was more that there's a lot of time left in spring training. It's going to take some time to really answer that offense versus defense questions in center field and other places.
As we get further into spring, I think there'll be clarity to that. It's hard for me today to say, like, we're only going to prioritize defense or offense. Like, I don't think that's the best way for me to look at it today.
I also thought this was interesting because recently they basically told us it's not so much a reset year now, it's more of a transition year. The number one focus might not be about getting young players the playing time. It might be kind of a hybrid of that. But Marmol did say that when they're making choices, they're going to have to consider the 2025 impact. But they're also going to have to consider 2026 and beyond in some of these choices that they make.
And that's why I do think there's a bigger conversation to be had. And that's why I keep mentioning that as far as, all right, what are the short-term decisions that don't impact the long play here? And setting kind of some boundaries to that. I mean, that's not just a coaching staff decision. That's a front office decision, right? So as we get further into this, I think there'll be more clarity to that.
You get the sense that there's a lot of coaching going on here in this camp. There's more coaches available, more instruction going on. And as players kind of figure out who they're going to be and what their limits are, especially early on in camp. And I thought this was interesting. I know some people are going to kind of balk at what they're about to hear. I would request you really listen to what he's saying and take it with an open mind. Marmol says wants players to really able to, you know, push hard here in spring and they could reel back if necessary.
Make mistakes. Be okay making mistakes. Make them on the aggressive side, not on the timid side. Like, figure out what your limits are. I don't care if it borders reckless, especially early. I want guys to really understand what they're capable of, and then we can always dial it back. We have smart players, so when you have smart players, you can be aggressive and then dial it back. If we had a group that IQ was low, it's hard to just let them run wild. But this is a group that understands the game, that is students of the game. I want to see them make mistakes on the aggressive side.
And then specifically to some of that coaching that I was just talking about a moment ago, Wilson Contreras was on the field again today. Of course, he's working over at first base, a brand new position for him. And Marmol did spend some time talking about the work that's being put in by Contreras over at first.
Working hard at it. Worked hard at it this whole offseason. He made several trips here to work with Oquendo. Stubby came down and spent some time with him as well with Oquendo. So he's taking it to heart. He wants to be a good first baseman. But to your point, he did put on some weight, and in a good way. He looks strong, and he's ready to go.
Another one of those players who is expected to have a very big impact for the team, had a big impact last year, shortstop Mason Wynn. We see what he can do defensively. We see what he can do offensively, and just all over the place. And Marmol said that Wynn really can impact the game in so many ways.
I consider Mason one of the most exciting players in the game right now. He has a combination of, if you're a fan and you're watching the game, he impacts it in so many ways, right? He can wow you defensively, whether that's getting to a ball that most don't get to or being able to throw across the diamond in a way that most can't, on the bases with his speed, being able to score from first and just triples, you name it. But also, just the way he profiles offensively, like sprays the ball all over the place, but also can hit homers. So as he continues to develop and mature in this game and you give him more years, he's one of the most exciting players out there.
Where can Wynn get better? Well, one of those next steps is for him to steal more bases.
We had a discussion as far as what's next for him. And when you look at his overall game, his speed lends itself extremely well to taking more bags. And I want to lean on the side of, he's always going to be smart, but on the side of being aggressive and seeing what those limits are.
We were having a conversation about this the other day on the Gas House Gang text group, about the left side of the infield for the Cardinals with Wynn and Arenado and what other left sides of the infield in baseball stack up. And there's not many, and I think Marmol would agree with that, talking about how special that left side of the infield is.
It's a good left side of the infield. You got guys that are, gosh, find a lot of pride in doing that part well, right? So you have certain guys that just like thumping and hitting. These guys take a ton of pride, and they're intentional about their defense, and it's fun to watch them on a day-to-day, not only in-game, but how they prepare for the game.
So that's a good transition as we talk about Mason Wynn and Nolan Arenado. We'll speak more about Arenado, really go through everything that he had to say yesterday in his media session after he arrived to camp. That's coming up next. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back in from Jupiter, Florida and Cardinal Spring Training. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly here on KMOX. So I wanted to do this today because this is an opportunity to kind of finally put a bow on a conversation, on a narrative, and hopefully not revisit it again, maybe ever, certainly for quite some time. And that's what we spent so much time during the Cardinals offseason talking about Nolan Arenado and a potential trade. And look, I got this one wrong. I was on record saying that I thought Arenado would be traded before New Year's Day, just based off what John Mozeliak said to us at the winter meetings. Now, Mo later said that when he made those comments, he thought that he had a deal done. And I think now we can probably assume that the deal that he thought he had done was the one that Nolan Arenado nixed and rejected, and he would not go to Houston. And then it also is likely that Arenado would have ended up in Boston if Alex Bregman wouldn't have signed up in Boston. By the way, sidebar there, if you weren't paying attention today, holy moly, is that Boston situation starting to blow up. So Rafael Devers, their third baseman, who had been promised that he would stay at third base, he's basically saying he's not moving off of third. The organization is saying, well, the promise about him staying at third was made by a previous regime, and even their manager, Alex Cora, said Heim blooms in St. Louis now. It is a disaster in Boston with that situation, and we'll see if that's going to be something to watch from afar. But Devers is not happy, and the Red Sox even went all in on that. At the winter meetings, because there had been rumblings out there that they were looking to improve defensively at third. And what did Cora say? Oh, no. Rafael Devers is our third baseman. Yada, yada, yada. Well, turns out he wasn't. And now they're trying to figure out that situation. Does Bregman play more second there if that thing gets really bad? I don't know. But that is not a good situation. Anyways, let's not spend too much time on that. I wanted to get to Arenado. And you've probably heard some of this audio. You probably haven't heard all of it because Arenado spent a fair amount of time speaking with the media yesterday. And I just wanted to go through and basically play for you everything that he said, so you know where he's coming from and how he viewed the way things went down in the offseason. And then once we're done with this segment, hopefully we are done with this for quite some time. So, again, some of this you've probably heard even right here on KMOX. The whole thing got played during sports on a Sunday morning, but we'll try to add a little context to everything as we go along. And Arenado, as he opened up his session yesterday, really gave just kind of some general thoughts on how he views what went down during the offseason.
There's been a lot going on this offseason, and, there was, a lot of truths out there. There was some lies out there. I try not to get caught up into it too much, I really focus on just getting ready for the season, and that's about it, there was a lot of things going on, there was always a possibility of me getting traded, and there was a possibility of me coming back, and I'm back, and I'm ready to go play ball.
Clearly, Arenado is happy that spring has arrived.
I'm excited to get to work. I'm a ball player, and I'm really focusing on getting ready for the season, and that's it.
So a lot of talk about what happened in the offseason and how that's going to impact Arenado moving forward. And he says that, being put on the trade market even as publicly as he was, that for him, that really doesn't change much of anything.
That's Mo's job to do that. My job is to get ready. And that's truly all I could really say. I'm really focused on being a better baseball player than I was last year. I mean, there's no excuse for it. If I was a better player last year, maybe things would be a little bit different. So I'm really focused on that. I feel good. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but my body feels ready to go, so I'm excited about that.
There's also been the conversation about, is it going to be awkward having him back, whether it's awkward with teammates or awkward with the front office? And I always thought that was a nothing. That wasn't a thing. I never thought that there was going to be awkwardness. His teammates were going to be happy to have him back. He has a good relationship with the front office, and Arenado kind of backed those things up, saying there's absolutely nothing awkward about being back with the team.
I'm a ball player. I'm ready to work. It's not awkward for my teammates and my coaches. And to be honest with you, it's not really awkward with the front office. They have a job to do, and I have a job to do, and that's the best way I could really put it.
Now, the reason that the team put him on the trade market was because they wanted to go through a reset. They wanted to give younger players more of an opportunity. This is not an all-in kind of year. And he's not happy about that, but at the same time, he realizes he can't spend too much time worrying about the Cardinals' direction.
Do I wish the direction was all-in? Of course. Is this what's probably best for the Cardinals? Probably. I think they do need to reshape some things here and do some things. But at the end of the day, I'm a ball player. I'm a Cardinal until I'm told I'm not. You know what I mean? And that's all there is to it. And I got a lot of work to do. I got to be a better ball player, and that's what I'm focused on.
Anytime you go through a process like this, There's going to have to be communication because Arenado had the no trade. There had to be, you know, they had to speak with the agent and everything. And a little bit of insight here from Arenado on what those conversations between him and the Cardinals looked like during the offseason.
The Cardinals told me about the direction they were going. We asked them, then I asked them to explore some things. Nothing was demanded, and that was something they were interested in doing also. And that was it, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, I didn't, you know, did I sit here in the offseason and think I wasn't coming back? No, I knew there was always a chance of me coming back, so I'm prepared to be here.
John Mozeliak had said there was five teams that they were negotiating with or they talked to that were on the list for Arenado, and Arenado explained why it was just the five teams that he would have accepted a trade to.
Now, I got a family now, and to be willing to pick up my family and move them, you know, it has to be something that is worth it, you know, and so that's kind of why the list was fairly small. I don't see myself really changing that list ever because, like I said, I got a family now and I don't feel like moving them everywhere just to move them everywhere.
Maybe trade talks start again. Maybe there's an injury in spring or during the season coming up on the trade deadline. That is still something that could potentially happen. There's no guarantee that Arenado's now here for the long haul, but that's also something that he was not quite willing to talk about yet.
I don't even want to think that far ahead, to be quite honest with you, just because we're 5 months removed from last season and it didn't happen. So my mind is on getting ready and playing good baseball. You know, I can't focus on things I can't control right now. So, you know, that's where I'm at.
So let's talk about the on-field impact here. Because Arenado does make this team better. I thought there was a lot of value to being able to get the young players more playing time, that was going to bear some fruit for really 2026 and beyond. But now that the team is in the spot that they're in, let's talk through what it looks like. I think he does make the team better. I think he could have a big bounce back season. He himself says he feels like he's in a really good spot.
Well, the one thing about this place, I'm very comfortable. I know it. That's going to help me get ready for the season. I'm in the right place. I feel ready. I feel I have a lot to prove. I'm very excited to take the field and, you know, flying over here, I had a lot to think about on that flight. And once I landed, I was like, all right, it's time to just get ready for the season and focus and do everything I can.
Goes on to say that he feels like he can help the team win games.
If I'm me, you know, I think I just make any team better, to be quite honest with you. So, yeah. And if I'm here, I'm going to give everything I got, and I can make this team better for sure.
Now, he's coming off a season offensively that just wasn't especially good. He did talk through the things that he worked on during the offseason.
Explosion. I was in the weight room a lot more. Lost weight. I got after it. I did what I felt was the right thing for me, and I'm hopeful that it comes into fruition pretty quickly here in spring training. You know, my plan is to play a lot of games in spring training and just be ready to go opening day.
And if those things that he worked on during the offseason, if they bear fruit, well, then he has a really good chance to have a bounce back season this year.
I got to go out and play ball and be me. And last year was not what I want the Cardinal fans to know me as. So I see this as an opportunity to kind of change that script.
And let's finish with this, because the number one issue for the Cardinals last year, they had a hard time scoring runs. So he himself, I'm sure Cardinals fans will like to hear this and hope that it plays out. The number one goal is for him and to help the team score more runs, and really for the team in general, just to score more runs.
Obviously, we just got to score some runs. You know, I think offensively we really struggled, and obviously I was a huge part of that problem. And, you know, my goal is to get back to driving in runs and playing great defense and just, like I said, just being me again.
Nolan Arenado speaking with the media yesterday, and like I said, hopefully we can just kind of put that to bed now. He is the Cardinals' third baseman moving forward, and all the different things that we talked about all offseason, kind of all for naught at this point, but also something that we put in the rearview mirror. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program and then get you to the SLU Basketball Coaches Show. It's all coming up. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back in on KMOX, it's the Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauley. Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. We're going to have a short show tomorrow. Jen Cease is going to be coming your way beginning at 6:30, as she's going to have a preview of the City SC season, which is officially beginning this weekend. Can you believe it? We're talking so much about baseball, but City's going to open up their season before the Cardinals officially do. Of course, the Cardinals, they've got spring training games. This is a huge sports day coming up this Saturday. Saturday for a lot of the area properties and the Cardinals. They are going to play their first spring training game. It's going to be against the Marlins. We're going to have those first two games here on KMOX on Saturday and Sunday. So 12:10 first pitch on Saturday. And then 12:05 first pitch on Sunday. And you can hear those games right here on KMOX and, of course, across the Cardinals radio network. All right, so thought it was an interesting day. I hope you enjoy. I hope you enjoy listening in to my goal here is, you know, especially on these short shows, I really want to put an emphasis on playing for you some of the things that we're able to get because we are down here. And you might not be able to hear those things many other places, and it gives you kind of an idea of the main narratives that are coming out of camp on an everyday basis. Like I mentioned earlier, I did feel like Oliver Marmol's point that the excitement level for this year's season are kind of at all-time high in terms of his tenure. I think that's a really interesting thing to say. I just do. And I'm not trying to make too much of something that shouldn't be a big deal, but I just think it's an interesting way. If it is true, if it is genuine, I think it's a very interesting thing. And maybe it gives you a little bit of hope that this team is going to be better than some of those external expectations make you think that they're going to be. I'm glad that we are just a few days away from Grapefruit League games because honestly, like, we can only ask so many times about, hey, what's better in center field, Lars Nootbaar for his offense or Michael Ciani and or Victor Scott because of their defense? Same thing with the catcher spot. And I was more comfortable with Marmol's answer today. Like he had concerned me a little bit in the way that he had answered the questions recently where it kind of felt like there wasn't much of a chance that we were going to see a lot of Nootbaar in center field. And I just want to see this team score runs. That's what I want to see. If they score a bunch more runs than they scored last year, then I think that this is a team that is better than last year's team. I'll say this again. At some point in time, the storyline is going to move forward to a point where I don't have to keep repeating this over and over and over. But the one thing about the expectations of this team being lowered compared to last year that I don't understand. And I realize last year wasn't good enough. I want to be very clear on that. Last year was not good enough. They were not a playoff club. They were not a legit World Series contender. Not good enough. They were still a winning team last year. They were still a team that was in a playoff position for some of the year, playoff contention pretty much all of the year until they were mathematically eliminated right there at the end of the season. This team is largely the same. They had one of the worst offensive seasons that the organization had ever had. Just dumb luck should get you a little bit more offensive success. And if the things that Brent Brown is trying to do with Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, and if all of Nolan Arenado's work in the offseason, if all those things pay out dividends, this team could be exponentially more impactful from a run scoring standpoint. Now, I think the bullpen takes a step back. They don't have Andrew Kittredge. That's one part of it. And look, I try to be fair in everything I say. So if I'm going to sit here and tell you that, you know, almost by dumb luck, offense has to be better this year than it was last year because of how bad it was, well, then I do have to apply that same standard to everything. And by dumb luck, the bullpen might not be as good this year. They were so good last year in protecting leads and what the team got in the final three innings of games that they were leading. I mean, they were just so good. And history would tell you it's hard to repeat that from one year to the next. So that's a thing. I'm not running away from that. And that could be a big thing, and there could be nothing more debilitating for a team than becoming a team that loses games late, that takes leads into the seventh inning and can't hold on to them. Because all of a sudden, a loss today, a loss in that manner today, can turn into a loss tomorrow and a loss the next day. Like, that's not the way you want to lose games, and you don't want to have to pull yourself off the mat too many times during the course of a season. So I'll be completely open to the idea that even if Ryan Helsley is just as good as he was last year, the results might not be as good. Same thing with some other guys. Now, there's a chance for some other guys to also step forward into bigger roles and do things. So, but even with that, even if the bullpen takes a half step back, offensively, they should take multiple steps forward. The starting pitching is going to be fine. It's clearly a starting rotation that's built for the regular season. You know, this is not a rotation that's going to probably carry you to a deep postseason run. Although I say that, and I mean, in today's day and age, starting pitchers in the playoffs barely pitch four innings, it feels like sometimes. So it's more about the bullpen, but that's a different topic for a different day if the Cardinals happen to be in playoff contention towards the end of the season. But, I mean, look, the point that I'm getting to, and if you listen to me all the time, I'm repeating stuff that you've heard me say before. I don't understand the lowered expectations for this season compared to last season because it's largely the same, and there are a lot of reasons to believe that there are some areas that are going to get better, some areas that might take a step back, not running away from that, but I do think the areas that could get better are more weighty or more impactful than those other areas that we talk about. All right, that's it for me today. Only a one-hour show from here in Jupiter. We'll be back tomorrow. Only a half-hour show coming up tomorrow. We'll be in and out pretty quick as we'll make way for Jen Cease tomorrow night and a City SC preview show from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Hope you enjoyed it. The SLU Basketball Coaches Show, it is on the way next. Have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, talking more Cardinals baseball from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training here on KMOX.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.